being here, and I'd like to thank you for tuning in to the last of our three-day Tala Summit, Real Talk with Curls and the Girls. Today we have three inspirational speakers, and first up is Total Beauty maven, Rachel O.
Thank you, Tiffany, for welcoming. I'm really excited to be here, and I really hope that although I'm the only speaker on this call, you guys will interact with me via Twitter. You can ask questions. You can just give me a shout out. Let me know what your name is and where you're listening from. So if you'd like to post questions or make comments, you can follow me at Rachel O. Beauty. And I believe the Twitter handle for Curls is, I think, Swiss3Curls. I think that's correct. So I'm really excited to be here. This is actually the first time that I've spoken publicly about my struggle with depression. And I want to encourage you guys to be really patient with me. Again, as I mentioned, I'm excited about this opportunity. So let me first start off by just sharing a few personal things about me. If you follow me on social media at all, you'll notice that I refer to myself often as a mamapreneur. And I do that because I live a very busy lifestyle. I'm a mother of three daughters. Their ages are 8, 5, and 9. And ever since I gave birth to my first daughter, it has always been a goal of mine to be a work-from-home mom. I really admire women who work outside of the home and are able to juggle a career and family. But for me, I just wanted to be home with my kids, pick them up from school, take them to school, make lunches, all those different things. I didn't want to miss any special moments. So prior to becoming a work-at-home mom, I had a very successful career in the beauty industry. And I got my start in the business by working as a model, a makeup artist, and then I eventually went to school to become a board-certified esthetician. So I really enjoyed my career, but as you know, when you start to have children, your lifestyle changes drastically. It really does turn upside down in a lot of different ways that you can't expect, and I mean, I shouldn't say you can't, but you don't expect and you cannot predict. And so, basically, my struggle with depression started when I gave birth to my third daughter, who is now 3. I remember coming home from the hospital with her, and initially, things were pretty normal. You're breastfeeding and having the late nights because the baby isn't sleeping. And like most moms, I really didn't take time for myself because, again, I was just basically breastfeeding and caring for my other two daughters and also, of course, trying to be an attentive wife to my husband. A few days after I've been home with her, I noticed that I felt overwhelmed, and I was so overwhelmed that it got to the point where I just had a negative outlook on, like, pretty much everything. I was starting to just dread each day from the time I opened my eyes. And, some probably would say, well, that should have been an indicator. But for me, when you have a new baby, you're just so busy that you just get up and do what you have to do. And like most busy moms, I didn't give much thought to myself and my own personal well-being. So that was one of the first indicators, but again, because I was so busy, I didn't really give much thought to it. So that's actually one of the first points that I want to make. And I think this applies to all women, whether you're dealing with depression or not. You know, a lot of times we get so busy in life that we don't take time for ourselves, and we ignore signs of, you know, what's going on with us emotionally. It could be things in your marriage, or maybe it could be lack of just genuine relationships. So, you know, I just want to encourage everyone, whether you're dealing with depression or not, to make sure that you take out time for yourself, just so that you can live a really healthy lifestyle. So at my six-week checkup, I passed the physical examination with flying colors, which is always great. But when I took the emotional well-being test, there's like 10 questions that they ask you, and they're asking you, you know, are you crying a lot, or, you know, just all these different questions. I wish I could remember the exact questions from the survey, but basically just questions that are geared towards your emotional well-being. And I remember when I took the test, I was very hesitant to answer the questions. I guess because internally I was feeling like my answers, I'm not going to say I didn't feel like my answers weren't right, but I was just feeling like, there's something going on here. So I continued to take the test, and basically after I finished the test, I knew that there was something going on, like my emotions or my responses were not normal. And I can remember that it kind of scared me a little bit, but I left the doctor's office, and I received a call the next few days. The doctor called me to say that my results were not normal, and said that she thought I might be suffering from postpartum depression. And then, to make matters worse, she quickly stated that she needed to refer me to a psychologist and possibly get me on medication. So, you know, like most naturalistas, you really try to live a natural and holistic lifestyle. And so when somebody says they're going to put you on medications for a mental disorder, you know, if you're anything like me, you're just going to be like totally opposed to the idea. And so I was. I, you know, try to live a natural lifestyle, and I was just like, you know, didn't want to hear it. I was like, no to medication. It was just like not open to anything, any recommendations that she had. But of course, you know, when you get the news like that, even though it's not something that you agree with or you want to hear, you still have to take the time and think about it. And so thankfully, I had a few friends who were in the medical field. I have a very good friend who's a midwife, and other friends, another friend who's another associate who's a pediatrician. And I just started asking them, you know, I let them know that I really didn't want to take medication. I wasn't sure if I needed medication. Just the whole idea of taking medication was very, very scary to me. But in talking with my friends and seeking advice from other medical professionals, I mean, I think I might have sought out advice from at least 3 or 4 other medical professionals. And not just medical professionals, too. I talked with people who were also living a holistic lifestyle, you know, taking herbs and things of that nature. I decided after I've done all my research and talked to my husband and, of course, prayed about it and really considered, you know, how this could possibly affect my family and how it was already affecting my lifestyle without me even noticing, I decided that I would take the medication. And it was not an easy decision to make. It was a very, very hard decision to make. But I decided to take the medication, and I noticed that it did help me to balance my emotions. So, again, that was a very difficult decision, but, you know, it was a solution that helped me. So I want to stop here and just talk a little bit more about depression, postpartum depression. Again, I want to say that if anyone has any questions or comments on what I've mentioned so far, you can tweet me at Rachel O'Beatty. You can also find me on Facebook. I will be checking my feed to see if anyone has any questions, and I'm more than happy to answer questions for you regarding this topic. So continuing on, my experience with depression is that it can be really hard to diagnose because, like most new mothers, you can mistake it for baby blues. And I'm sure that, you know, you have heard of baby blues before. If you haven't, I just want to tell you what the difference is between baby blues and postpartum depression. So baby blues, some of the symptoms are you may cry often, you may experience moodiness, appetite changes, and typically when you have baby blues, the symptoms go away within a few days. So, you know, with my other two daughters, maybe I experienced a little bit of that within the first week of having them. But then after the first week, I was back to feeling like my normal self. You know, obviously still a little bit tired because you have the sleepless nights, but it was kind of just like my body adjusted, my mind adjusted, and, you know, things were pretty much back to normal. So with postpartum depression, the differences are that postpartum depression, it lasts longer. So it can last, you know, 6 months to a year, longer than that. It really depends on the person. Some people will notice that you don't start to see the postpartum depression until perhaps a couple of months after you've given birth to the baby. As with other types of depression, you'll notice that you might be sleeping more or sleeping less, you know, just not feeling like you want to get out the bed at all. You'll have feelings of hopelessness. You may have negative feelings towards your baby or just about life in general. You may also experience loss of pleasure and things that you would normally enjoy. So thinking back to when I was experiencing postpartum depression, I can remember that I would have friends that would call and invite me to do stuff. And I would just the thought of getting dressed and going out and being around people, it was kind of like, oh, I just dreaded it and just didn't want to be around people at all. And actually one of my really close friends, that was when she first started to note and express her concerns, because she's like, you know, why don't you want to, it doesn't seem like you want to do anything, you don't want to be around people. I'm just like, oh, I'm tired, you know, but that was a really good, that was really good of her to notice that I didn't want to do the things that I would normally want to do. So those are the differences between baby blues and postpartum depression. What I've learned from my experience is that it's really important to slow down and care enough about yourself to check in mentally, spiritually, and emotionally to see how you're doing. You know, I often think about how when you're on a plane and if you're traveling with children, the flight attendant, when she does her safety demonstration, will say, in case of emergency, please put your mask on first and then tend to the child or person next to you. And that is very similar to when you're dealing with depression. Because, as I mentioned, you know, it's very, it is very possible to be dealing with some of the signs that I just mentioned. You know, weight gain, weight loss, sleeping more, negative outlook. It's very impossible to not even notice these things if you're not taking out time for yourself. So just make sure that you really take out time for yourself and really stop and listen to what your life is telling you. Hopefully, like me, you'll have the support of family and friends who can stop. Sometimes family and friends have to do the stopping for you, especially if you're a really busy mom. They have to stop in and say, hey, you know, did you notice this? Hopefully you'll have family and friends who can say, well, this is what I've noticed and this is what I'm concerned about. And then, you know, maybe you'll take the time and just say, well, you know, I guess I am a little bit concerned about this and this is something that I need to give some thought to, or this is something that I need to pray about and just get a little bit more clarity on.
Rachel?
So,
I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm going to jump in for just a moment. You're
okay.
A little bit muffled. So I want to make
okay.
sure our guests are able to hear you.
Okay. Did I just get muffled or?
That's better. That's better.
Oh, okay. Thank you. All right. So continuing on, going back to not taking out time for yourself, and I'm mentioning this again because I think it's applicable to anyone, even if you're not dealing with depression, just your own self-care and wellness. I remember when I first realized that I wasn't taking out time for myself, something that I like to do is I like to take myself on solo dates. I like to do things like go and catch a movie by myself or go out to a restaurant by myself or go to a bookstore and, you know, look at books and just sit down and have a coffee. Well, not coffee. I'm not a coffee drinker. Hot chocolate would be my drink of choice. And I remember I was on one of my solo dates at this restaurant. I'm sitting down having a drink, and my mind just started to wonder about the different areas of my life, like my hobbies and relationships and business goals. And suddenly I realized that I had not thought of myself, my own personal needs and wants in a really long time. And it really kind of like struck me as odd, but it just served as another reminder that I need to make sure that I'm, you know, just thinking about my life and what are the things that I want out of my life versus, you know, what I have to do for the kids, what I have to do for my health, what I have to do for my husband. So I'm just mentioning this example because if you don't take away anything else from this call, I really want you to put yourself on your to-do list, especially in this day and age of social media and, you know, I'm sure you guys may have experienced where you're at a social gathering, and obviously you're going to bring your phone because you're taking photos, but let's say you're at dinner. Everyone has their phone, and, you know, it's really hindered the way that we communicate with one another. Obviously, it does have some benefits, but sometimes we can be so busy and so distracted by things that we enjoy that we don't really take time to sit in silence or to journal or to pray, the things that really connect us to spirit so that we can begin to explore what's going on with our own emotional, personal well-being. So it's been about 3 years now, and sometimes I still struggle with depression. However, since some time has passed, I've found ways to help me manage depression. And what I want to do is just share some of the ways that have helped me to manage depression. As you guys can probably tell, Spirituality is very important to me. Earlier this week, I heard a quote, and it was just so profound to me. I want to share with you all. The quote says that the question is not, are we spiritual beings? The question is, are we aware and conscious of it? And I want you to really think about that. You know, as you get up in the morning and you go about your daily routine, are you listening to your spirit? Are you aware of your spirit? What are you doing to connect with God? You know, are you living life or is life living you? So prayer is very important to me. Oftentimes when I pray, you know, although I still have to take medication to help me manage depression, I thank God for healing me from depression. And I know that might sound a little odd because, you know, I just said I'm still taking medication for it, but when I pray and I thank God for healing me from depression, that's my way of confessing that there will be a time when I won't have to take the medication anymore. It's my way of just thanking God for healing me from it. And, you know, on a side note, you can begin to do that for other areas of your life, whether it's, you know, I thank God for restoring my marriage, or I thank God for, you know, making me financially wealthy, or, you know, I thank God for giving me a better relationship with whoever it is. So begin to pray those things, and you'll be surprised how just by confessing those things in prayer, it will set your mind and your spirit in tune to work even harder towards that direction. One of the other things that I've done, and it's been really important for me to do this, is that I no longer ignore the signs of depression. I'm finally at a place in my life where I recognize when I'm struggling with depression. I know what the triggers are. I know what the signs are. And I talk to someone about it. For me, that person a lot of times has been my husband because, you know, he sees me, he knows, you know, he'll even say sometimes, well, did you take your medication? And, yeah, sometimes I get a little irritated because, you know, depending on what kind of mood I'm in, I'm like, okay, are you trying to say I'm crazy? But I know that that's probably his way of just saying that I've noticed, you know, you're a little bit more irritable than you normally are, or you seem to be overtired. It's just his way of sharing his concern. And again, making sure that, because he knows how busy I am with my business and the kids, it's his way of making sure that I'm taking care of myself. So it's really important to talk about the feelings that you're having. You know, specifically, I'm thinking about the African American community, and a lot of times when you talk about going to see a counselor, a shriek psychologist, whatever you want to call them, you know, it's kind of like shunned upon and it's taboo. But it's so important to seek that medical professional advice and to have someone to talk through what you're feeling. You know, obviously your family, your friends, if you have a minister, you know, those also would be great outlets for you. But don't be afraid to seek professional help. So lastly, also what's really important for me is exercise. Exercise is a big stress reliever for me. For me, one of my triggers is just being a mother to my three daughters. You know, oftentimes when we think about motherhood, we think about all the joys of it. And obviously, yes, it's very joyful, but it can also be very stressful. And so it's really important that I take the time to work out so that, one, I have time by myself. I can hear my own thoughts. I can really think about things that are going on with me. But also, you know, when you exercise, Your body releases chemicals called endorphins. And endorphins trigger positive feelings in your body, very similar to that, very similar to the effects of morphine, which I'm sure you guys are familiar with morphine. If you've ever been in a hospital, it's a very powerful drug that helps to alleviate pain. So we can naturally treat depression by exercising. I'm a runner. I'd like to get on the treadmill and run maybe 2 miles. When the weather is warm, I'll go outside and I'll run. But if you've ever participated, if you've ever been a runner before, if you've ever done some really heavy exercising, you've heard of something that's called a runner's high. And it's a euphoric feeling that you get, which helps to create a positive and energizing outlook on life. And so it does, I love to experience that after I exercise, and it really does help me with depression. So finally, I just want to encourage anyone who may be dealing with depression to, as I said before, you know, take a good look at your life and, you know, honestly ask the questions. If you are experiencing any symptoms of depression, it doesn't have to be postpartum depression. It could be, you know, other different kinds of depression. You know, there's so many different kinds of depression out there. You know, look at your regular attitude and ask yourself, do I tend to have a positive outlook or a negative outlook? Look at your eating habits. Take notice of whether or not, you know, you've gotten into emotional eating because, you know, you're having some other emotional or mental issues. Now, obviously, you'd have to see your doctor, and I just want to give a disclaimer here that you definitely should seek professional medical advice to see if what I'm saying applies to you. But sometimes something as simple as overeating and gaining a lot of weight is directly tied to the fact that this is your way of treating depression subconsciously. You're eating and eating and eating and eating because you're not dealing with the imbalance of the emotions that you're having. Also take a look at your relationships. Sometimes the signs of depression are right in front of us, but because they've become such a normal part of our lives, we just begin to accept them as habits. And again, you know, as I mentioned before, in the African-American community, there's a lot of shame, stigma, and silence about mental disorders. You know, I have to say, it's taken me 3 years to really talk about my struggle with depression, and part of that is because, you know, sometimes when you mention the word depression, you know, people just kind of, they don't know how to react to it, you know, and so as with everything else in your life, you kind of have to be cautious about who you share your struggles with, but at the same time, if you're, if it's something that you have a concern about, you know, what I'm trying to say is take it seriously and be proactive. Just recently, I went to see my counselor, and we were talking through different things about medication. I recently experienced the death of my family, and that turned out to be a trigger for me. And she was saying that depression is a really interesting diagnosis to talk to her patients about because the difference is if you have broken your leg or you had a heart condition, you know, doctors in other fields would be able to say, okay, well, here's this x-ray and this is what the x-ray shows. It shows that your ankle is broken here in XYZ place or, you know, these are the arteries in your cloth. And because you would be able to physically see that, you would say, okay, well, this is a diagnosis, I have cancer, or I have heart congestion, you know, what do I need to do to improve this particular condition? And she was saying that with mental health issues, a lot, because you can't physically show your patients, a lot of people have a hard time saying, well, this is what I have, and this is what I need to do to get better. And I just thought that was really interesting and profound. At the same time, I could really relate to that because, you know, for the longest time, I just kept trying to treat it naturally. Well, can I do this? Can I do this? And granted, I've just given you many different ways in which you can treat it naturally with medication. But for some people, it will require you to take a medication just as you would if you had other illnesses, like I mentioned, heart disease or cancer. You know, take it seriously is the point that I'm trying to make. Lastly, what I want to say is don't be ashamed of it. Find a group of people that you can talk to about it, share your story, and, you know, it's just really important that we start the dialogue, especially between other moms and other women about depression, so we can all help each other overcome depression and get the support that we need to deal with this. So that pretty much concludes my presentation. I did check my social media feed, and I didn't have any questions that came in. Sometimes people like to ask questions about things of this nature privately. So if you'd like to send me an email, you can send me an email, rachel@rachelobeauty.com. And if you're following me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you can also send me messages via those websites. I want to thank Mahisha and the Curls team for this opportunity to share my story. Curls is actually one of the sponsors for an upcoming event that I'm hosting here in Chicago. It's called the 3rd Annual Holiday Beauty Bazaar. And so if you'd like to get more information about Curls and try their products, please visit the largest natural hair meetup group in Chicago at www.chicagonaturals.net. And, of course, you can always learn more about being and what I'm doing and what I'm talking about, beauty, natural hair, fashion, by visiting my blog, and that's rachelobeauty.com. So thank you all for joining me. I hope the information that I shared was helpful. And, again, I'm really looking forward to hearing from you, your thoughts, your comments, your stories, your feedback. Thank you so much.
Rachel, thank you so much for sharing your personal story to our Curly Stick community. Next up at 3 p.m. Eastern, Real Talk with Curls and the Girls will have artist, activist, and ambassador Yuwande Austin discuss the #1 killer of African-American women. You won't want to miss this.